I don't remember that.
How'd you put
that
finger on
it? I remember one time Anthem was running,
but like
stopped.
But like it fell like really far into like my finger, and I like couldn't move it.
Okay, 1 Samuel 23 is where we'll be. Let's pray before we get into it. We'll ask the Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts as we talk about this. Side note of importance, most of you have started, all of you have started school. I'll pick someone at random. Let's go with Michael. How's it been so far?
Difficult.
Thank you, Michael. Difficult.
See, I told you what he was thinking.
So you're in geometry?
Yep.
Yep, okay. All right.
Good luck.
I know. It's hard already.
Mm.
I had 5 days to get this weekend.
If your teacher gives you trouble, you can say, meet me in the octagon. No, that's a stupid joke. Oh, no. First.
I like to tell people to meet me by the in the courtyard Fred, at like 3:30 and then don't meet them there.
Yeah, I like to do that too. all right, 1 Samuel 23, I will pray that the Holy Spirit will move in and among through the reading of His Word and that we will change in His likeness. This will be a little different, but hang with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you so much that we can sing to you. Thank you so much we can have fun, play some games. Lord, right now I pray that you quiet our spirits. And Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit. We pray to the Holy Spirit that He would so move in and among the reading of your word as we discuss it. May we be changed more and more into the image of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, not long ago, let me just be real with you. I watched a movie. That's not a big deal. Here's the big deal. the movie I'd watched... It was a movie that I'd watched like 10 years before. And from what I remembered, it was hilarious. It was funny. It was great and edgy and all that other stuff. So some people wanted to watch a movie. And I said, I got the perfect one. It's a little old, but it's funny. Hilarious. So we all got together and brought it by, popped it in the DVD there, and watched it. And the first 10 minutes, I was struck. This is really bad. I don't remember it being this like vulgar, nasty, like there's a lot of I don't remember this. This is not what I was thinking it was. What did I find attractive about this movie 10 years ago? Now all of a sudden I'm sort of embarrassed by it. What was I thinking? Then it hit me. You were a different person 10 years ago than who you are today. Christ, by His grace, has moved in you to where you don't love the things you loved as much, and you are moving away from worldliness more toward Christ-likeness. That's why you think this movie is junk, because you're a different person. Well, as we come to 1 Samuel 23, hopefully, well, our goal is this. we are moving away from who Saul is and more toward David is. And it becomes very, very obvious that we're just a different creature. Now, a bunch of money, if you can tell me who this is. A bunch of money.
St. Augustine.
Augustine, depends on where you're from. A bunch of Monopoly money your way. Thank you. Here's a story about St. Augustine. Augustine, however you want to say it.
I mean, it says enough.
He was, before he came to know the Lord, this guy was the, how do I put this? He was the Magic Mike dude of his generation. He was the guy who sort of was the symbol, okay? He had a lot of popularity. He was rich. He was, well, that's an old picture. It's a drawing of him. They valued different things back then.
Did he always have a house in his hand?
Always. Everywhere he walked, he had a house.
How do you do this? How do you do that? He's like, wait,
hang with me. Hang with me. It's written right there. All right, hang with me for a second. Here's St. Augustine. Yes, he has a weird finger thing.
He looks like a happy dude.
Hold on a second. Here's the deal with St. Augustine. He's 10 years removed from that dude he once was. He has come to know the Lord. He's now a different creature. And so he's walking down the street, and it's the town where he sort of got in trouble with. And one of the ladies opens up her windows and says, Augustine, Augustine, it's me. And he looks up there and he recognizes her. This is someone who I don't have the... There was not a godly time in my life when I knew this person. And he looks up and he sees her and she comes walking down there and she's trying to seduce him. Augustine, it's me, it's me. And he says, and this is not a burn, he says, it is you, but I'm afraid it's not me.
Ooh.
It's not a burn. All he's saying is, you wouldn't recognize me now. I'm a different dude now. The guy wasn't standing in front of her. She would be really disappointed if she expected the old Augustine. Well, all this to say, anybody ever done this when they were a kid? These are two magnets. You get the two sides that don't attract and you try to make them touch.
Dude, I could do that.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure.
All right, well, there are two sides that repel. They don't want to touch. They're moving farther and farther away, okay? So in our story, the two characters are like that. One is David, one is Samuel. They're moving farther and farther and farther away from how they do things, okay? Saul is becoming more and more selfish and hurtful, and David is becoming more and more selfless. So hopefully this is the way you see your life right now with regards to the world you live in. More and more like Christ, less and less like the world, and we're being pulled farther and farther out from who we once were. If you're saved, your life will be an upward and more righteous life with tiny dips where you fail in fewer and fewer times. If you're an unbeliever, it will be less and less righteousness with tiny dips where you actually do good. So I've heard it this way. When you first, and this is true for me too, when you first become a believer, you have a bunch of sin in your life and you don't hate it. As you progress in the Christian life, you have less and less sin in your life, but you hate it more and more. So there's this sort of thing going on as you progress in the faith. A lot of sin, you don't hate it. Less and less sin, you hate it more and more and more. Let's keep going, okay? I'll read for you the first 14 verses. Here we go. This is the Lord's word. Now, they told David, behold, remember he's in a cave. The Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and are robbing the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save the town. But David's men said to him, behold, we're afraid to go into Judah. How much more than if we go to this town with the armies of the Philistines? David asked of the Lord again, and the Lord answered him, arise, go down to that town, for I will give the Philistines into your hand. David and his men went to this town and fought with the Philistines and brought away their livestock, struck them with a great blow. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. All right, cool. This guy, he's on the run. He's wanted. He comes out of the cave for just a second to rescue the town he's in. The Philistines came and took their food supply. And he comes in there and at great risk to himself, leaves his cave with his boys, saves the town, the Israeli town, and here he is. Let's see what happens next. When Abiathar, the son of, well, this guy, had fled to David in Keilah, he had come down with an ephod in his hand. So he's a priest. And it was told Saul that David had come to this town, Keilah. And Saul said, God has given him right in my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town with gates and bars. Saul summoned all the people to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. David knew that Saul was plotting harm against him. And he said to the priest, bring the ephod here. And he said to David, O Lord, the God of Israel, your servant, has heard that Saul seeks to come to this town to destroy the city on my account. Will the men surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down as I've heard? O Lord, God of Israel, please answer me. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. Then David and his men, who were about 600, arose and departed from Keilah, and they went wherever they could go. Saul was told that David had escaped, and he gave up. He gave up the expedition. David remained in the strongholds of the wilderness in the hill country of Ziph, and Saul sought him every day, but God did not give him in his hand. Recap, David comes out of the cave, great danger, risk to him, saves the people, and Saul, I mean, this is Saul's people, so what does Saul do? He's got to die. What? I hate to use the analogy, but it's sort of like Robin Hood. David does something really, really good, but he's an outlaw. He shouldn't be an outlaw. he rescues the town, saves the people, and really doing the job Saul should have been doing. But David was a more kingly guy. Really disappointing here that they offered to turn him in after being rescued. Really disappointing. And by the way, Saul came after David to kill him. So number one, believers love people more and more. Exact opposite for the non-believer. Believers grow in their love for others. Non-believers, not so much. Here are two guys, two main characters in a story tonight, and their treatment of other people couldn't be more farther apart. One risks his life coming out of a cave. The other one wants that guy dead. Dead. Imagine this for a second. This is so crazy. Imagine if there's a Chuck Norris figure who just busts on the scene, goes into the Middle East, wipes out all of ISIS, and then Obama, or whoever's president at the time, could be Trump, has a press conference and says, he's got to die. You'd be like, what? He should be a national hero. That's what's going on here. Saul's like, oh yeah, he's dying. I'm coming after him. You couldn't get more opposite from one another than David and Saul. There's a good reason why they acted in two different ways. One's a believer, one's acting like he's a believer. So you want to know the difference between one had a relationship with the Lord, one pretended like he had a relationship with the Lord. So anyway, here's our first point tonight. Your relationship with other people is the main indicator of your relationship with God. Your relationship with other people is the indicator of your relationship with God. Hear me out. I'm not saying if you get into an argument with someone, you're not saved. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if we look at your life, the pattern of how you treat other people, that would be a clue, the biggest clue as to your relationship with the Lord. So look no further than seeing how you treat other people. Let me just, your relationship with other people is the indicator of your relationship with. Let me just tell you a story. I'm not gonna mention this person. Well, this happened. It was maybe three months ago. Went to an event. Don't tell who it is. Someone in this church, okay? I'm going to give a good example of how this works out. I went to an event, and there's a person, man, woman, we're not going to tell you. And it was an event for some of the students here, and I was there. And so the thing's done. I'm saying, hey, bye, we'll see you later. All right, okay. Oh, better unlock it. Don't have that key. So I tried to play it cool, but he wouldn't let me. He was like, or she, whoever it may be. They said, hey, you like your keys in your car? No, yeah, I did. But it's okay. I think we're just going to call the locksmith and we'll be good. We'll be good. It's okay. Go ahead. Go back home. No. Why don't I take you to the house, to your house? You live just down the road. I'll take you there. We'll look for a spare key. Okay. Couldn't find one. That's okay. I mean, just please. I'm taking up all your time. Please go home. I'll just wait right here for the Dixie Lock and Safe guy. No. I'm going to keep you company. Okay. Well, that's fine. It was an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And the locksmith guy, every stereotype you could think of a locksmith was him. He had fishing lures coming out of his truck. He's like, hey, man, hey, you're lucky you got me. You're good to go. Literally, that's what he did. I mean, 20 seconds, put out a cigarette and like, $50. And so, at the end, this person who remained nameless, he or she, shook my hand. Well, I was just saying it was a he. That'd be weird. He shook my hand and said, hey, man, we've all been there before. And then I noticed something hard in there. Like, what? We've all been there before. I look in there. I'm like, no, don't do this. Don't do no. Look in there, and there's a check for way more than what it costs for Dixie Lock and Safe. I'm like, oh, man. And he said, hey, we've all been there before. I just want to bless you. I just want to bless you somehow, some way with what I've been blessed with. Bring this up because I don't question that guy's salvation. How you treat other people is a reflection of your relationship with God. True, true. Compare those with people who, I'll just say, vehemently against the Lord. These are exaggerated examples, okay? So I'm not saying if you don't know God, you're going to be like this. However, these are people who were vehemently against the Lord and his people. How did that play out in their relationships? Well, here's Anybody know who that is? Stalin. Okay, Stalin said no Bibles here in Russia. He kind of bought into the Marx idea of religion is the opiate of the people. And so, how did he treat other people? 10 million was his number. 10 million. Well, actually, that dude right there, Mao Zedong. Mao Zedong. Wearing Louis Vuitton, Louis V. He had it back then. Mao Zedong was, again, staunch communist atheist who was like, no Bible here. His grand total was 20 million. He starved him out. And then finally, we got this dude here. Who is that? That guy. Vlad the Impaler. Vlad the Impaler. Again.
Oh, you know why they call him like Vladimir?
Again, this dude was no Bible, no Jesus, don't bring that to me. And some of the things he did, I can't even mention. Let's just say he wanted to give this idea of don't you ever dare mess with me or my kingdom. And I can't read some of the examples of what he did. And it all flows from not only they had no relationship with the Lord, they hated the idea of that. And it kind of worked through in how they treated other people. So question, looking long range, is it obvious to you and others that you do love God? Is it obvious, long range, not talking about little things that happen here or there, interpersonal problems, not that. Is it obvious that you love God based on how you treat other people? Is it obvious that you love God based on how you treat other people? Well, you'll find this to be the case. The more you press on toward Christ, and the harder you chase after him in his word, the better you will treat people as a byproduct. That just naturally happens. And here's my little dashboard light, I guess you'd call it, my little barometer, how I'm not doing well with my devotional life, how, you know, here's how I know. If I'm short with people, if I'm really, like, angry over nothing, I know I need to hit my knees. Because me and the Lord I'm not chasing after him hard, I'm not doing my devotions, I'm not praying. Because I'm short.
Knees.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, like this, like that. No, not literally. Like, what are y'all doing? No. That would make me more patient with people. So, no.
Wait, Fred, like this?
No, not like that, no. Number two.
Gotcha.
Number two. Believers in Jesus see people as image bearers of God. The world sees people as objects. I'll finish with this chapter. Let me just tell you what happens. What happens is Saul finds out that David is on the run. And so he goes to this mountain. And David goes to the same mountain. They're on opposite sides of it. And they don't even know it. So here's how it goes. David saw that Saul had come out of to seek his life. David was in the wilderness at Ziph. And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand. And he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my dad, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Saul, my father, also knows this." And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. David remained at Horesh, and Jonathan went home. Then the Ziphites went up to Saul and said, "Is not David hiding among us in the strongholds of Horesh on the hill of Hakilah, which is south of Jezimon? Now come down, O king, according to all your heart's desire. Come down to our part, and we shall surrender him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, for you have had compassion on me. Go make yet more sure." Yeah, so he's going to make sure he's down there. "No one see the place where his foot is, and who has seen him there, for it has been told that he is very cunning. See therefore and take note of all the lurking places where he hides. Come back to me with this information. Then I'll go with you. And if he's in the land, I'll search him out and find him." So they both wind up on the same mountain, one on one side, the other on the other. And they don't know it. And then finally, they're about to meet on somewhere. And finally, someone comes up and says, "King, there's fighting that broke out over here in your kingdom. The Philistines are attacking." And he leaves and goes. Providentially, by God, he's not going to attack at that moment. So anyway, basically, Saul goes chasing after David and his men through the wilderness. It's a game of catch me if you can. Saul's chasing after him. Then here's the deep thing going on. Saul sees David as merely an object, okay? He has dehumanized David. He has taken away the humanness of David. You're no longer a human being. You're an object, David. This is what sin does. Sin dehumanizes people. It takes away the humanness of them, and they're just an object. That's what sin does. This is what another pastor says, and it's great. How you see other people. No, they quit being people you find joy in loving. Rather, they get reduced to one of two things. They're either vehicles to help you get what you want or obstacles in the way of getting in the way of what you want. When a person is meeting the demands of your wants and needs and feelings, you're quite excited about them, but you treat them with affection. But when they become an obstacle in the way of your wants, needs, or feelings, you have a hard time hiding that disappointment. Sin is a nasty thing. You're supposed to read this account and go, oh no, this is what happens when you give up on your relationship with the Lord. People become objects, either vehicles to get what you want or obstacles that get in the way. So, does God take this seriously? Here's Sodom and Gomorrah. Here's what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah. The sin of that thing was, there was homosexuality, there was a bunch of stuff going on, but here's also something. The men of that town saw the angels there, and those angels were nothing but objects. Objects there for their carnal pleasure. How did God take that? He did not like that. So let me get it down to your level. Think about the times when you have, maybe in the past, gotten mad at mom and dad, okay? It happens. Gotten mad at mom and dad. I will just be very honest, transparent here, attempt to. Back in the day, that happened. My parents were seen as objects by me. They were a roadblock for me getting what I really wanted, okay? I'd like to just be honest with you. In high school, for the most part, I was not a saved individual. They were roadblocks getting in the way of what I wanted. And so how that played out was I got angry. And it was like an internal thing. I never acted on or anything like that, but it was a sort of a low boiling kind of thing going on most of the time because they were roadblocks. I was looking at my parents as merely objects. And when I celebrated them, well, that means that they were vehicles and they were getting me what I wanted. It was a very selfish thing. So Christmas time, man, I loved my parents. Birthday, I loved them because, well, they had the pocketbook, you know. So sadly, sin does that. Sin always leads to this, where Saul is. Hopefully you won't go as far as he went, but trust me, in your heart, those who get in your way would be killed 1,000 times. That's the nasty thing about sin. One of the things it does is it causes us and our affections to shrivel like a peach in the back of a refrigerator. And that's a John Piper quote. It's weird, I know. But yeah, that's what sin does. It causes you to turn inward so much that you shrivel up and your affections for others goes inward and it turns into self. Okay, hopefully, like the magnets we talked about, you are still, we still struggle with sin, but hopefully you're moving away from the way Saul was and more into David's way. More and more into David's way. In fact, let me challenge you to live in a David-like way. David risked everything coming out of that cave. Risked it all. He could have died. Risked it all, came out of that cave, while loving people well. At your age, that looks like this. People start talking about someone who's not in the room. Maybe they're not the most loved or respected person around. And there's a sort of thing where you can jump on that person verbally. And then it might get personal. And then you might start picking on that person. Are you going to be the David who says, hold on now. They're not here. Hold on now. Because that's a David type thing to do in that situation. Risk it all while loving them well. Hold on. I think we're jumping on this person. Let's pull back on some of this. The flip side of that is Saul, and you see people as objects or vehicles to get what you want. It all rests on your relationship with Jesus. But here is where, typically in Sunday school and in Vacation Bible School, we don't mean to give you this message, but here's how it comes out. Well, be like David, okay? Just don't be like Saul, be like David. And let me just be honest with you. That'll work for maybe 2 minutes. You'll leave this room, something will happen, and you're like, oh man, you can't muster up the whatever to just be like David, you know. That, there has to be something else behind that. you don't want to be like Saul, you want to be like David. But we're kind of stuck. Is the pattern more and more like Christ or like the world? That's how we started. My challenge is, don't look at David. Look at who David's pointing to. This is the Garden of Gethsemane. Let's look at the particulars here of this story. David, he's on the run and he's homeless. He's looking for a new cave to sleep in while Saul goes back to his palace. David was almost turned in twice by his own people he rescued. David has a ragtag of guys following him around, guys no one would have picked first to be on their team. David would go on to become Israel's greatest king. Who's David really like? Let's look at Jesus. Jesus said, I have no place to hang my head right now. He was, we could say, homeless for a period. He had a ragtag of guys following him around. All right, guys no one probably would have picked first to be on the team. Fishermen and simple people like that. Tax collectors, people who were hated. Jesus was actually turned in by his own people. Like, oh, you're looking for Jesus? There he is. Who David's pointing to is Jesus. I'll just give you a little clue there. All these things are lining up for you to find the better one. Then Jesus, he gets himself arrested and executed. He's killed on a cross, the most shameful way to die. Crucifixion wasn't even mentioned in polite company. Well, for the Jews, it meant you were cursed by God. So the only way to really change is not to go, I need to be more like David. The only way to change is to have your heart reshaped and reshaped and reshaped by looking at the gospel and going, man, that's awesome. That was done for me. He became a curse for me. Man, that's great. You understand, you love the gospel message. Jesus is the one who was a betrayed curse for me. And now he reigns. That's the only way your heart's going to change. Not by going, be like David. No, yes, you should be like David. The only way to do that, though, is to focus on that gospel message. I will close with the same story. Forgive me for using the same story twice in one day. It just bears repeating. Some of you weren't there. So just if you heard this, just tune me out. There once was a kingdom. There once was a kingdom. There was a new king in. This new king was new on the scene. The old king didn't rule well, so there was crime. Crime was just rampant. He gives this announcement to the whole place. Listen, new king's in town. Anyone caught stealing anything will be given 10 lashes by the strongest man in the kingdom. And they had some lug who was just huge. And he just whipped. Well, no one did anything for the next 2 months. It was great until one day someone stole just one little apple. One tiny little apple. King, what are you going to do? We're going to beat this person 10 times. It's what the law says. Bring them here to my court. There it is. Someone in a hood came before them. Take off the hood. And it's the king's mother. Everybody looks. What's he going to do? And the king says, we must fulfill the law. We must beat the person. And everyone knows he's going to die. He says, get ready. We're going to do it. And at the last second, the king takes off the robe, covers his mother with his bare back and says, give her the 10 lashes she needs. And the law was fulfilled. She was not hurt. He was the absorber of it all. That is the gospel. And that is the thing that will change your heart. The more and more you dwell on that, the more and more you're a different person. So let's pray and we will just talk a little bit here. Girls, y'all can have that parlor. Let me just ask you some questions. We don't have to stick with script or anything like that. But let me just ask you straight up. Does that make any kind of sense? Whereas you find that you're hard, maybe it's hard to see yourself, but are you hard to, like, deal with? Do you see that relationship in your life where, okay, me and God are not close, and as a result, I'm not really getting along with people right now. Have you ever experienced that? Hopefully not. But that happens from time to time. Your relationship with other people is a direct reflection of your relationship with God. Elder Raven, so glad to have you here with us. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah. You say you hope that doesn't happen, but, you know, sin ruins relationships.
That's
Absolutely. Relationship with the Lord. And the only way we can truly love our neighbor the way God intended is with the Lord's help. Yes. And if my sin separates me from that. And one of the things that's evident, a fruit of sin, I often see is anger. That's a fruit. That's a strong indicator. There's something that it's not really, anger's bad one in itself. But I really have to go back and look at it in terms of my relationship with the Lord. Do you follow what I'm saying? And then also relationship with a neighbor.
Yeah.
I probably am carrying an offense. Do you follow what I'm saying?
It
really is. It's a broken relationship, and it's the fruit of that.
Right. And that's why we do the peace part of our worship service. We've confessed our sin. We're good with God. That means we're going to be good with our neighbors. So go shake your hand. That's why we do that. It's not just, that's what we're supposed to do in the worship service. It's, you have peace with God, you're going to naturally have peace with other people then. And if you're at war with God, you're going to be at war with other people then.
Sad to say, I've worked with some people here, not at church or anything like that, but
I work with people who just didn't get it. How come I can't stay in a relationship with anybody? I'm not just talking girlfriend, boyfriend, but like, I can't keep a friend. Well, it's because... because you got a lot of sin in your life, brother. You know, that's the kind of thing going on. But hopefully you haven't reached that point where you've said, oh my goodness, I've got a bunch of broken down relationships around me. It must be because, hopefully, I'm just trying to give you a warning. That's sort of what happens naturally. So you're starting school now this week. Got a week under your belt. Cole, you think it's going to be a good year?
Well, of course, it's senior year.
Of course. Senior year's best year, I've heard. That's what they say.
Junior year's hardest, by the way.
Junior year's hardest.
Yep. First week, I can already tell that.
Yeah. Freshman's easiest, probably?
Sophomore's easiest.
Okay. So, Andrew, you got 2 years. And then it gets real. No, it's real now.
It was real in 8th grade. Depending on what you took.
I didn't like freshman year.
You didn't like it?
Nope.
Just, you didn't have friends in your crew in your class or what? Or?
I went from from Schofield to South Aiken.
Oh.
So.
Okay, gotcha. Got rezoned.
It got better.
Yeah. But those aren't the people you went to middle school with, so you didn't really.
Yeah.
I went Kennedy Aiken High, so. Yeah, South Aiken 1 year, but got rezoned. Yep. Harrison, how you think sophomore year is going to be?
I think it's going to be a pretty good year. Yeah. I think French is going to be a lot harder.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we'll
be back on the French subject again.
Because our French teacher only speaks French. And then, like, half the time everyone's looking around the class and just like, what did you say?
Miss Kaplan, right?
No, Miss Kaplan's easy. Green. Miss Kaplan, like, basically was like the spell it all out for you, teacher, and now we go
straight to
no
English. Having you spelled it out for us for 2 years and then have it where.
Oh.
Yeah. She like wrote down a word on a flashcard and she's just like, you're gonna do a PowerPoint on this word. And then like I couldn't read her handwriting, so I still don't know what word it is.
It's due tomorrow.
It's like,
it's due
Wednesday.
It's due tomorrow.
She said it's due Wednesday.
It got corrected in her class.
Oh no, you got some work to do.
Well, I don't want to be the one that makes you do it all night and then it's due Wednesday, so maybe you should just tell her that she told your class.
Yeah, I'll tell her that.
Oh no.
I'll ask people in my class.
No, she speaks English, but like she speaks French for most of the class.
Yeah.
And her English is in a really French accent.
Have you tried maybe bring croissants in or something?
Yeah.
Oh, French toast, even though
French toast, that's right. Bring in some French fries.
Hey, I just went to McDonald's, here's some French fries.
Yeah.
Actually I went there 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, they look the same. No. yeah. What are you in French or what are you in?
Spanish. I was in Spanish. I should have taken Spanish 3, but
Okay, so you just took 2 Spanish?
Yes.
Okay. That's all you have to take, right?
Hey.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you can go to Clemson with 2, but you have to take the bridge program. So.
Bridge?
Really?
They didn't tell us that.
Yeah.
Hey, you can be a Tiger still.
I could just go to French and then...
Well, no, I wouldn't encourage that way.
Mom, Fred said.
No. No.
Mom. So, Harrison, tell me about, like, this is way off topic. We're just hanging out, but when I was at Aiken High, every year, we were like 10-2, 11-1, 9-3 sometimes, but Aiken High was the powerhouse.
Football?
Uh-huh. And now they've won 2 games in the last 3 years.
It was?
Yeah. It was, no one beat Aiken High when it was.
Yeah.
That's pretty tough. Remember Aiken High was a powerhouse there for a while.
Yeah, that's what my band director said. He said that, like they went to, like, finals every year.
Yeah.
They finals every year. And then, something. And then, I think, one of the coaches changed, and it just went down.
Okay, see, the year, I was a senior year, right? In my senior year, we were 10-2 and going to be first round bye and going to just, tear it up. Probably go, who knows. At the last second, the players played a game of flag football before the season started. Not flag, it was tag. And an assistant coach happened to be at the house hanging out. And so, therefore, it was counted as a practice. And they were not able to go to the playoffs. So they were 10-2 and I'm sorry, you can't go to the playoffs. Because you had a game of tag football and the assistant.
You're gonna have to stay home this playoffs.
And it was mutiny in the streets, goodness. But apparently that winning tradition has gone.
We're doing better this year.
Yeah, they might be decent this year.
Because we played Strom Thurmond and we lost 14-20.
And it came down to the last play too. I watched it on TV and they threw one in the end zone and it just didn't work out.
Of course. Last year, whenever we played Gilbert, I went to that game, and we did some pretty cool stuff. I mean, I only play flag football, but...
Well, I'm going to the one in 2 weeks, so I don't know if you're playing. Not South Lake, South Lake's next week, but then...
Oh, you're not going to the South Lake again?
No, I'm out of town, but then you're playing... Who are you playing at home? It's your first home game.
I don't know.
But I'll be there. You're marching?
Listen, I just work there.
You just work there, okay.
Yeah, I'm marching.
Okay. Well, I'll be there, but I'll be cheering you on. I'll be your fan, and I'll have signs for you. Go, Andrew. That's a little weird.
Third quarter is my break.
Okay. All right. While we pray and get some snacks, shall we? Lord, thank you so much for these guys. Thank you so much for your word. We do pray, God, for the week coming up that you'd strengthen them, energize them, especially Andrew. If he has to do this work tonight, would you increase his energy to see this all the way through, if that be the case? God, thank you for each and every one of them. We do pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would guide us in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I haven't started on the project either. So I'm probably going to do it tonight.
Let's say a phone case.
I just
don't
do it.
No, I'm going to
text somebody now.
Asshole.
Push me. Doddle.
I'm too strong.
Because I've worked here this out pretty much for you. I feel bad if you got to do it tonight.
I mean, at least it's better than me walking in tomorrow versus period and being PowerPoint and I'd be like, oh, wait, what?
You know the word I gave you?
Yeah, I couldn't read it. I'm sorry.
Oh, is that in French? I didn't know. Is that Arabic?
Yeah.
All I thought you were here with a little strip man in there.
Wow, I really need to go back to mom. I thought I was taking Spanish.
That's
terrible. Look.
I
signed
up for it. Latin and Paler.
I told you.
Latin and Paler.
There you go, guys. Here's some chips.
One more.
Yeah.
Let me. I can't remember.
Oh.
No.
Not exactly sure yet.
Okay.
Either set school. Well, just for E and I.
But sure.
Yeah, that is.
Now people are spending like 50 grand, 60 grand on a degree they might not use.
Yeah.
And I'm only going for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. A friend of mine did that for airplane mechanics.
And he was
making some pretty good money. He just went to tech school.
What?
He fixes airplanes all day. Makes good money.
It was just there.
It was just there.
Yeah.
I hit it.
What the heck, dude? Where is it?
Oh, wow. No, that's not.
What you looking for?
Pepsi. It was just there. And Richard hit it.
I feel bad, but I'm really curious.
Curious about?
I don't know.
Was that your phone?
No, that's Tori's.
Oh. I guess that's cool. We got it. It's okay.
This is mine. Man.
What do you
think? What is that? I know, what is that? It's just
even more than I think.
How do you turn this thing on?
TikTok, yeah, I know, okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's got the.
What kind of phone is that?
I don't know, I think it's the HTC One.
Is there a plastic light right here, too? Or.
I mean, if we drop it, we'll find out.
She will hate me forever.
No, it's got the lip thing, that's what. Okay.
Well, you got thread that you brought down on the
ground. Before they get to you? Like, over there?
Yeah.
You need to do
that. No, no, no.
Like
no, let's take a video. Just a really long video.
Okay. No.
What the?
No.
Oh, no, okay. I got it.
Alright, let's see. How do I do this?
A really long video of what?
Let's take a picture.
Is this a video?
I mean, take a video and set it up in front of the house.
Video. Alright, it's going. Oh, phone storage is cool.
Oh!
Well, mine's that way too.
You have a really good
time. I put too much music on my phone.
I actually use
iTunes, and like, what happened was my phone started giving me gigabytes. Like, I'd sync it, and then it would show up, you have 2 gigabytes free, and then the next day it was like 2.5 gigabytes. So I was like, I'm going to use this, so I put music on my phone.
Are you going to do the Apple Music thing?
Well, somebody apparently already did it on my phone. So I, and they did that 3 months ago, so I don't have the free 3 months.
Oh no, it's really, you can just ask Siri to play your song.
I mean, she already does that, like if I'm like...
I'm not sure. I don't really want to
see you play the Woven Wind.
Really really
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Too big of a risk.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that because it's already on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Eric, are you going to play Varsity this year, probably?
I think so.
That's the 4S, right?
Did you know?
It's pretty good, except for I used it while I was on the charger too much, so my phone lasts for like 10 minutes. Not 10 minutes, but more like 2 hours.
Actually,
but.
You know, I've always
I had a life proof, but I didn't like the.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't like the life proof.
It had the same desire, bro.
Yeah.
I was just after my high fresh fight. You gotta keep playing.
Yeah,
it's older, but I wish Curly was on TV all the time.
That's actually gonna get the update coming out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
My friend already had iOS.
Our friends are like,
yeah, he got beta, then he put it on power saver mode, and then he has to play 48 to 11 charging it.
In like their own different languages.
An iPhone?
Not like on the whole time.
I love it. I might get really into Corolla.
But those things, I mean, I got
my trash
trucks are trying to
get
it out.
Yeah.
If you use it.
I think there's only a few times
that I've
gotten only
a few times one day.
So I charge it while I'm
asleep.
Oh, yeah.
World's
this
strongest
is
man
after
just
wearing
this
pretty
cool
curling.
My friend got an iPhone 6
like the first day they came out and brought to school the next day.
You guys took my new TV.
Yeah, that's a weird story.
Have
you seen the injury that the guy had?
No.
Oh my gosh, he was like,
oh, the arm wrestler injury?
Oh, yeah,
they're terrible.
That's gross.
They're terrible. Because there's so much pressure. People are just like, oh, I've never arm wrestled.
Anybody else? I entered a soup section at a two plus one.
Those people are insane, though. They think so, like, in the workouts they do.
I saw a made up
Okay,
hurt.
Does that only need one arm?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you might need a arm like this.
I want to switch really fast.
That was good, though.
It's amazing that your dad is 5 years old.
Usually, I can be, and still runs locker room. Which arm? Yeah. Usually. Ready? Set. You're good for an hour. Uh-oh. I just... I heard more than grits. Well, Angie, I want to see y'all too. One of these days.
Okay, here we go. Let's go in the office.
I can't pick up anything now.
My abs are already right. What the heck?
I should have done some stretches before. Oh man, oh, that feels good. That feels
good. Also, I get all that. Is it
same?
Dude, my biceps are
that
done.
Oh, that is like this, and then you.
What? Do that.
Oh. No, I know some drunk ones that look really weird.
Oh, like that. Oh!
This is a
big stretch.
I can almost sort of.
If I had a long pole or drumstick, I can show you guys some cool ones.
I like that farmer's tan, Andrew.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I've been working on it all band camp.
Yeah,
I can corn.
My bicep hurts. I was just tipping the
ball. I know, that's like a workout.
Yeah, that's crazy. How about I ping you in my left arm, though?
Oh, absolutely. You did me bad.
All right, Fred, I got you, all right.
You want to
help? All
right, let's go.
Okay, next it has to be John and Harrison.
Go!
Because they haven't been on yet.
Oh, my God. Harrison. Massive, like, alarm is popping.
No, I pulled him down.
This puts us at a disadvantage, our long arms.
Well, yeah, I don't know, I think it's
disadvantage because you have leverage. It was the arm hair that was really scary.
I'm like Chewbacca.
Fred, are you ready for No Shave November?
Okay, Harris,
I'm more certain of it.
Oh, yeah, I need to.
I shaved this morning and I was like, wow.
I
would grow a monkey tail.
Hey, no, please don't.
Please
don't.
Trying to grow a mustache for No Shave November, but it doesn't work.
Who did?
The girls?
No.
Oh, that used to all Katie's friends.
Yeah,
like
the guys.
I was like,
I think I have more facial hair.
I was about to say, that would be a little disturbing.
I once saw a guy who grew out his mustache, but then he didn't cut it, but it was like a puberty mustache. So it was like really weird. And like didn't even go, it just was like
You know, every time I'm at the bar, it's just like there's a little bit left because they don't want to drink the last of it, you know?
Yep, they won't be that guy. They'll be the same way. Just put them together.
No, this is just
like
cherry Pepsi.
Three quarters Pepsi, 1/4
The bottle will just like explode because it's cherry.
I know, but I love cherry Pepsi. You can't like mix them up. And it's, I wonder how it tastes.
John, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, you
where's next? It's good stuff.
What does it mean something different, though?
Oh, that's good.
I know.
Good.
What do you
mean? It didn't explode.
But did you think it was?
Jeff Cups.
In the science class or something?